From Spring Hill, Kansas, to Peculiar, Missouri, from Mission and Marion to Platte City, nighttime is looking different in many of our metro towns and cities. That's thanks to a program that has swapped out old city streetlights for newer, brighter, and more efficient ones in communities throughout the area. It was an initiative called Smart Lights for Smart Cities, and last week, KCUR's Brian Elson sat down with a few individuals to talk about the big impact from these little lights.
Joining us from the Mid-America Regional Council to talk about the program is MARC's Director of Local and Government Services, Georgia Nesselrode. Georgia, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also joining us are leaders from two of the communities that got the new lights, Aaron Otto, he's City Administrator for Roland Park. Welcome to you, Aaron.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
And by telephone, Keith Thomas, he's the Electric Utility Director for the City of Harrisonville, Missouri. Keith, welcome to you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Georgia, what is or was the Smart Lights for Smart Cities initiative?
The project, aptly named, was a grant that we received from the U.S. Department of Energy. It was given to us in 2010. It was part of the stimulus package. It was part of a larger initiative called the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant Initiative. And they reserved a certain amount of money for smaller cities, and we applied on behalf of 25 cities within the MARC region.
So how many cities ended up participating in the program? All of those that joined in the grant?
Yes.
Okay, so I know that the list stretches from Basser, Kansas, to Westwood, Kansas, all across the metro. How many counties does that cover?
Well, we're probably in 7 out of the 9 MARC counties. There were 12 in Kansas and 13 in Missouri.
And how many lights are we talking about being installed in this program?
We were able to purchase a total of 5,700 lights.
Wow. Now, tell us what exactly happened. Cities replaced old streetlights with these new ones?
Yes. What has been known is that the older versions of lights, whether they're metal halide or high-pressure sodium, are not efficient in their energy use. And the new technology that's been available for the last few years is LED technology or induction. Induction has been around for more years than LED, but they are proven to save energy, therefore save money.
And let me ask you, Aaron Otto, as City Administrator for Roland Park, why did you decide to get involved as a city in this?
Well, it looked like it had the promise to be a win-win-win across the board. It was a win to the environment that if we could show that these LED lights used less electricity, that would reduce the carbon footprint. It was a test to see what the residents and customers' feedback would be about the product, and that was very positive. We could talk more about that. And there was also a chance to kind of see if by replacing a portion of the city's infrastructure in terms of the light system, street light system with LEDs, could you be in a position where you would, by the energy savings, be able to replace the other LEDs or possibly purchase a system and allow the city to spend some of those previous dollars that were being spent on streetlights on other priorities. So it really benefited the environment. It benefited the customers in terms of the residents, and it looked like it had the potential to benefit the cities as well financially.
So, Georgia, did any communities choose not to participate? Why wouldn't a city or town do this?
There was one that backed away, and I'm not 100% sure why, but I think it had to do with they wanted one technology and the utility wasn't willing to install that technology. But otherwise, we had 26 at the application stage and 25 stayed with us.
Keith Thomas, out in Harrisonville, how was the reaction once the new lights went in?
Oh, it's been all positive. I've heard tons of positive comments and probably only one or two negative. The one or two negatives were they thought there was too much light. They thought it was too bright, but that's very, very uncommon.
Yeah, it's interesting. I read some of the feedback you got. In some places, they said there was too much light, and in other places, the comment was there wasn't enough. Is that right?
Exactly.
Aaron, describe it for us. If I'm walking down the streets of Roland Park today as opposed to a couple of years ago, how do these lights look and feel different?
So we targeted the oldest lights that we had in the city to be replaced with these limited LED lights that we had. And what you'll see is a brighter, cleaner look. There's a bigger span of where the light is reflected to. And it really, the feedback has been very, very positive because it is a crisper, whiter light versus the high pressure sodium end up being kind of that unusual orange color and discoloration. Yeah. So it's been, again, very good feedback. We had one concern from one person. We adjusted the shielding a little bit so the light wasn't quite as much towards their property. And that literally was out of insulation, which ultimately replaced about half of the lights in the city. That was the one kind of critical comment that once that was corrected, they were a fan as well.
So Keith Thomas, from an efficiency standpoint, I mean, you're the utility director for the city. How big a difference is there in these new lights versus the old ones? How much more efficient are they?
Well, we saved approximately $46,000 since March of 2012 in kilowatt-hour consumption.
And so how much, what percentage is that of your typical utility
they're,
usage?
They're typically running about 50%. Of what our other lights ran.
Wow, that's a very significant savings.
Yeah, and some are a little more than others. You know, on this committee that, you know, I was where that we were involved with, I ended up trying all the lights that were available. So some were a little more efficient than others. It just varied, and then I've metered those and kept track of those through this period of time. The city actually has about 1,600 street lights. And we've actually changed out of 588 of those through this grant process. So it's been really beneficial to the city of Harrisonville.
I'm curious, would Harrisonville have been able to do this without the grant money?
No, because we've actually, the lights themselves at those costs were about $203,000. So that's a pretty big jump for a community of our size just to go in and start, you know, converting street lights. We did basically the same thing. You know, we targeted some of our older areas. The other thing that's really great about these lights is maintenance, the reduction in maintenance. Metal halide, which the city standardized on about 30 to 40 years ago, it requires, maintenance at least every 1 to 2 years.
Meaning changing the light bulb? Is that what we mean by maintenance on a street light?
You have to go replace the bulb or replace the fixture every 1 to 2 years on a metal halide. The high-pressure sodiums you get quite a bit more use out of, but they're just not as good a looking light. But,
I see.
So we really saved some manpower.
Yeah, so Aaron Otto in Roland Park, are you seeing less maintenance, similar kind of savings on the utility bill?
The utility bill, we've seen a little bit of change. I should mention that, I mean, again, the biggest seems to be the outcome and the quality of the light. I should have mentioned earlier that in this case, you see a lot better coverage on sidewalks in terms of, and that's obviously a safety issue of where you can kind of direct and focus these lights. And likewise, just even in terms of the visibility and the crispness of the light, really is even the police department's noticed how much more visible it is and what impact that has on the public safety aspect as well.
So, Georgia, will this program continue, or is this over now? Will there be another program like it?
We closed the grant as of September 30th, so we are out of the streetlight business. But what we're hoping, as a result of testing this new technology, that each of the cities, as they make decisions down the way, will continue to purchase LED lights, and over the course of time, additional lights will be installed. Just anecdotally, the city of Independence, which wasn't part of our grant, a much larger city who has their own utility, they are converting to 100% LED in 2013. Wow. And they estimate they'll save close to $500,000 over I think just a year. So
yeah, Keith mentioned that there's a pretty high upfront cost for the lights, and of course, a lot of these smaller communities would not have been able to do it without the grant. What does that mean for the future of a program like this? Now that the grant is closed, how can communities actually afford to make these kinds of changes, which might save them money in the long run? But go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, I'd like to interject one thing. See, I was on the committee during this process, and since that time, LED lights, the price for the fixtures have came down dramatically. Some of the lights, you know, we were buying in the grant that might have been $600. You can now get that same fixture for $350 to $400. The city of Harrisonville, as we replace our existing metal halide fixtures, or they break, and we're actually putting up the new LEDs now. We're not putting back up metal halide, so we are doing a conversion.
And just to go further, just like laptop computers or anything, the longer they're in, the more efficient they get in building them, the price does go down. And we have seen that just in the 3 years that when we set our budget in 2009, we thought we could buy 4,000 lights. We ended up buying 5,700 lights. And with the year that's passed, I bet there's further reductions in the price.
Has there been any surprise in the results? Is this about how you predicted it would go, or have reactions been more positive? Have there been any surprising setbacks along the way?
I think it's gone as we expected it would be. Probably the only thing I would say is that the cities that don't own their lights but lease their lights are subject to a tariff that is governed by the states of Kansas and Missouri. And if there was one area we felt we could impact, we were unable to really make strides. But I know all the utilities that participated gave a commitment that they would go in front of their, you know, their public service commissions and ask for further permanent tariffs so that we can fully see the benefits of the LED lights.
And Aaron Otto, any regrets, or will we see more LED lights in Roland Park in the future?
Well, because of this grant, we're actually in a position where we're looking at potentially purchasing our streetlights, the entire system from the utility that currently owns them. We're one of the cities that Georgia was referencing that doesn't own their system today. But because of the LEDs that have come into place and the potential energy that may be saved from that, using that to essentially purchase a system within what we're currently renting it for will put us in a spot where we can start doing what sounds like Harrisonville's doing in terms of as bulbs burn out of high-pressure sodium, we can work on replacing with LEDs. So at the end of the day, we could end up with a system that we own that is a fully LED integrated system, and it's all because we had this kind of jump start from this grant making it possible.
That's Aaron Otto. He's city administrator for Roland Park, Kansas. Keith Thomas is with us on the phone. He's electric utility director for Harrisonville, Missouri. And Georgia Nesselrode is director of local and government services at the Mid-America Regional Council. Mark, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
That was KCUR's Brian Ellison. You can subscribe to our podcast to hear this conversation again or access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page of KCUR.org. Tune in tomorrow as we look at the future of the greeting card industry. Our show today was produced by Ross Steinmetz. And Up to Date is next with a look at the Johnson County Library's policy on concealed guns and the best children's books of 2013. I'm Matthew Law Middleton. This is KCUR.